Dave from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out over Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hi, Burpy McBurk-person.
Did I just burp? Did I?
You did.
Holy moly. Oh, wow. All right.
I don't know if the mic picked it up, but I certainly heard it.
I thought I kept that in. Oh, I'm sorry,
guys. Taking a little pre-show swig of water there.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, water. And yeah, so. We drink on the show, all right? Now you guys know.
We do. It's usually from our pocket flask, but...
Yes. Yeah, pocket flask, 40 ounce, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, jug of moonshine.
Sure.
You know, just, you know, with whatever
a, with a triple
here.
X.
With a triple on X the, on, exactly.
On the front.
Yes, from the Dukes of Hazzard. Just, I don't know what I'm saying anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I sent us off careening off.
Yeah, you really you tossed me for a loop with that burp. I really thought I got that off mic. Now I'm... Oh, no,
it probably was off mic, and everyone who's listening to this is just like, what the hell is John talking about?
Yeah, it was like, everything was fine. I don't know. I didn't hear any burp.
All right. But anyway, we are here to discuss SNL Season 45, Episode 6 from November 16th, 2019, with Harry Styles hosting and musical guesting.
Ooh!
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, the dude from One Direction. He's like breaking out. He's trying to be like the next Justin Timberlake.
I guess so.
I guess.
I really meant to like read his Wikipedia entry so I could get a little more versed in Harry Styles.
I don't know much about. I know he was in One Direction.
I know he's the guy who left.
The guy who left, and then he was in. He did a couple movies. He was in that that movie with the war movie for the guy.
Okay.
I'm really Dunkirk. He was in Dunkirk.
I didn't realize that. I'd forgotten that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't see Dunkirk, but I heard he had like a part in it.
Okay,
and that's literally all I know about him. All
right, that's about what I know. I didn't know about the Dunkirk thing, so I think you're one up on me.
I went in cold on this one. Just so. I mean,
we're two dudes in our 40s. We're not supposed to know about Harry Styles.
Yeah,
I think it's impressive that we know his name and we vaguely know who he is.
Exactly. So all you Styloholics or whatever you call yourself, just cut us some slack, all right?
That's right.
Stylomaniacs or whatever.
We're two dudes in our 40s, and we're fucking trying.
Thank you. All right. Right. Exactly.
Should we just dive in?
Yeah, let's just dive into this, because I don't have much to say about this episode. It was...
Wow. Okay. It was kind of a slow news week with...
Yeah. Nothing really happened.
Not much happened.
It's been pretty quiet. Right?
You know, not like people testifying before Congress against the president anything like that.
Oh, did that happen?
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Huh.
A little bit of that.
Didn't hear anything about that.
Yeah. Did you watch any of the impeachment hearings or listen to any of them? Or?
I feel like I should say yes, because if I say no, that means I hate America? Or
no judgment.
Okay.
We are in a safe space here.
Okay. No, I didn't hear.
Okay.
I got the Cliff Notes from you know, Colbert and whatnot.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Yeah. You know, Fox News says nothing happened, so they that
like, yeah, they were doing arts and crafts this week, I think.
They were just like, you know, hey,
how to make the perfect Thanksgiving pumpkin pie.
Nothing's happening in the White House. Let's just focus on this pie, people. Remember Benghazi? Remember that? That wasn't good. Anywho.
Her emails.
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 Anywho, stuffing recipes.
So the cold open that they hit on the impeachment hearings, because there was a big infamous headline this week from NBC News, actually, saying that the first day of testimony was lacking in pizzazz.
That's probably, see, why I didn't watch it, because it didn't have enough pizzazz.
It didn't have enough pizzazz. I mean, they should have just been doing jazz hands throughout their testimony, I guess.
Now you got me.
Yeah, I thought it was very funny that they didn't mention that was an NBC news headline, but hey. So they decided to present the impeachment hearings as days of our impeachment.
Yes.
So basically they're presenting it as a soap opera. We had Alex Moffat as Adam Schiff. We had Mikey Day as Jim Jordan. Cecily Strong as Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch. She says, I love the glamour and the spotlight. That's why I spent my career in Ukraine and Somalia.
Right.
Just responding to people saying she's only doing this for
the attention.
For the attention.
Yeah.
And then we had our cameo, John Hamm, as Ambassador Bill Taylor, who was one of the guys who testified the first day.
Right.
He said, unlike many other people in the Trump administration, I show up.
Oh.
Yeah. A little
scathing.
A little shade at... John Bolton and all the other people who aren't responding to subpoenas and stuff.
Right. I don't know. Did that get like a big response? I don't think it got. I don't know. This sketch. Right, well, let's
go. Oh, the sketch?
Yeah.
Or the people not showing up for testimony?
Well, the sketch. Well, both, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I meant the sketch, but yeah.
I don't think either got a big response.
Yeah, right? I mean, when they did this whole, you know, Days of Our Impeachment soap opera thing, part of me was thinking, like, oh, do people still watch soap operas? Because, like,
yeah.
I remember hearing that, like, soap operas were kind of on their way out because people were more checking into, like, reality TV shows and stuff.
Right. I saw some headline this week that's saying that, like, all the actors on a certain soap, and I forget what soap it was, it might have been Days of Our Lives, were, like, not let go, but their contracts were on hold or something.
Right.
And, yeah, so I don't think soaps are quite what they once were.
Yeah.
I don't really know the soap opera world, so maybe I'm totally off base on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not big invested into, you know, Days of Our Lives and General Hospital and stuff, but, like, I know they were big in the 70s and 80s and 90s, like, that was their heyday, but, like, now people are watching reality shows, so, like, for them to use this format, I was like,
I thought it was weird, and also because, like, yeah, when I think excitement or pizzazz today, I don't really think daytime soap operas.
Right, exactly.
And they said something in the intro that I thought might have made a better sketch. They were talking about, like, doing it as the Masked Singer, like the Fox show.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody's in the outrageous costumes and they try and guess who the unknown singer is.
Right. I thought they would have gone something with, like, more. But then again, like, I think we always say, oh, they always go with something more modern and hip. And I mean, maybe this is like a throwback.
I don't know. I guess they just wanted to do something that was closer to the actual hearings themselves.
Yeah, I guess.
It was, I mean, it just, I didn't hear it getting a lot of laughs. They didn't have a whole lot of.
Yeah. I mean, Heidi Gardner constantly fainting, I thought it was.
Yeah,
I was like, all right, that was something.
That was okay. We had Kate McKinnon come back as Giuliani. We had Beck show up as his very turtly Mitch McConnell. I do like his Mitch McConnell.
It's a good McConnell. I'll give him that.
The Senate has voted, acquitted. And they're like, we're not even in the Senate yet. Or it's like, oh, well, just let me know when I can let
him. Let me know when I can vote.
Yeah. And then we had Cal Mooney come in as EU Ambassador Gordon Sondland, whose name I just had to look up.
Wow.
Well, it's tough to get all these names straight because a lot of these people weren't like prominent, well-known figures before.
So. All right, I'll give you that.
And also, I'm dumb.
I will give you that.
Yeah, you didn't have to agree that quickly.
But you, all right, sorry.
they try to do like soap opera type twists, like when Kyle Mooney comes in, he says, "I told him there was no quid pro quo because I had amnesia."
Dun dun dun.
And then
Heidi faints. And like,
yeah.
Like, ooh.
And Pete Davidson came in as Michael Avenatti. And he's like, hey, you know, like, everybody, Trump had an affair. And everyone's like, yeah, we know. But the affair was with a porn star. And they're like, yeah, we know. That was like a story last year.
No one seems to care.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And we had Melissa Villaseñor as AOC. And she kissed John Hamm. And she actually tweeted about that. She said it was so hot.
Yeah.
Which is.
He's a handsome man.
Come on. Got to kiss John Hamm.
Handsome man.
And then because we were getting really super random at the end, we had Keenan as the Cleveland Browns football player who hit a guy with his helmet.
Yeah.
This week,
which
I saw that footage. That
looked, was bonkers.
That was nuts.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
I mean, it didn't, this opening, it didn't have Trump.
It did not. It was another, they're, you know, talking about Trump, but they're just going around. I mean, because we're not. I don't think we're ever going to see Trump testifying before Congress. I don't think we could do that.
I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen in this world we've created. Anything could.
Everything's so insane.
Up is down, left is right.
I mean, satire can't keep up with reality at this point.
Yeah, it's madness.
I don't envy the SNL writers in their job right now.
It's
because I mean, yeah, on yeah, there's a lot of material, but everything's moving so quickly and everything is so insane.
Yeah,
you can't really parody it.
Yeah, it's. How do you parody something that can't be parodied? Wow, this is...
I don't know.
Oh, God.
It's a weird conundrum.
Yeah, it's... But, I mean, as far as this cold open goes, I don't know. I thought it was a little weak,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah, it didn't get many laughs. I didn't think the audience was really feeling it either.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, they were trying to kind of bring it all together, but the writing... I don't know if it was the writing or the direction or... It just kind of...
I'd say the writing.
Yeah, it was just kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
It really wasn't focused.
Well, anyway, let's move on to the monologue. We had our host and musical guest, Harry Styles, come out. He was in extremely yellow pants and a very blue shirt, which have just very bold color choices.
Yes, and, you know, perfectly coiffed hair.
Yes.
His hair was perfect.
He's a little Werewolf of London there.
Hey, you like that?
Yeah, breaking out the Warren Zevon. I'm always happy to hear some Warren Zevon.
Nice.
He said, I'm here as more than a musical guest. Like when you find out someone likes you as more than just a friend. He says, SNL and I have taken things to the next level. And then something like, and like most of my relationships, will have one amazing night and then I will never talk to them again.
Oh, Harry.
He's a man whore. apparently, I guess. I don't know. Yeah. I don't.
He's a tramp.
It's yeah, like you could... I don't.
You whore.
You go get some, Harry.
You sexy gigolo.
Yeah. Let's see. He went over and he played piano because yes, he's a serious musician now.
Right. And then he says, oh, you know, in Britain, we play the piano on the other side of the road.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. And they made a joke out of him, like, not really playing the piano. They had a cutaway to somebody else playing the piano, like a black man's hands playing the piano.
Right. They did that. And it's like, oh, see, I'm playing. And then, and then he just kind of says, like, a bunch of one-liners about, like, I used to be in the band One Direction. And, like, how crazy it would be if all the members of One Direction were here tonight? And then everybody, of course, goes, ah! Like, but they're not here. Oh.
But what if they were?
Ah! Yeah. But no, they're not.
I like the lines he said. I'm not in a boy band anymore. I'm in a man band now.
Right.
And he talked about One Direction. He said, "I'm so grateful Simon Cowell grew us in those test tubes."
Yeah, that was a cool little, clever little line.
Because I guess Simon Cowell had something to do with the One Direction.
Did he founded, put them together? Mm-hmm. Was he the Lou whatever that other guy's name is? One Direction? Lou Ferrigno? No, that's not it.
Yes, Lou Ferrigno formed One Direction. That is our truth now.
Lou Ferrigno
formed One Direction.
It's like it's a different change in careers for him, but I could see it happening.
No, it's a switch, but you know, he was like, "Hey, I'm the Incredible Hulk. I'm hard of hearing. What should I do?" Put together a boy band.
I have an ear for talent.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus, I'm sorry I said that. Now we're never going to get him on the podcast.
He won't hear this.
Oh! Damn!
I wasn't expecting to go after Lou Ferrigno today, but...
apologies to Lou Ferrigno and the Lou Ferrigno family.
Oh, we amuse ourselves.
Harry also had this, you know, kind of sharp line where he said, people... say everybody thinks that on the cast on SNL does cocaine.
Yeah.
Well, they don't, and that's why the show is not good anymore.
Yeah.
That had some teeth.
That had some teeth.
I was like, ooh.
That was
Harry, you Randy Devil.
That was good. You know, that's such a weird thing about SNL is and I'm sure there's not like a lot of drugs. We were talking about this with Selena last week.
Yes.
There's not the rampant drug use through the cast that there was in the 70s or maybe even into the 80s, who knows?
Yeah, like now everybody's into like kale shakes and being healthy.
And Russell Crowe giving them fruit mango things.
Mangoes, air quotes.
But they still have the hours of like a cocaine thing. It's like, well, no, you're going to stay up all night on Tuesday and write sketches. And it's like... that is a schedule that was made by someone doing tons of cocaine.
Yeah, exactly. So how do you stay up doing that if you don't do cocaine? Like,
I don't know.
B12 shots?
Are they doing like lots of 5-hour energy drinks or something?
Wheatgrass with Red Bull? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, they're probably just taking cat naps in their offices. Yeah. It's probably like really boring.
I don't know what healthy people do.
I don't know. I wouldn't know.
the monologue, that was all right.
There were some good lines. It was it was fine. You know, he seems nice and he's charming and he's self-effacing and
that's all any of us can ask for.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. First sketch.
Lunch run.
That's it. Lunch run. So basically, we have. Harry Styles is an intern in this office, and he's going to get lunch for everybody in the office, and he decides he's going to go to the Popeyes and get those chicken sandwiches that everybody's been clamoring for. And, of course, the African-American co-workers are very concerned about this.
Yes.
So we have Ego, we have Kenan, and Chris Redd is there, but he's like the janitor. And, of course, they're all like, you know... you're gonna go by yourself to get those chicken sandwiches
at lunch rush, and you're gonna get like 15.
Yeah, and he's like, "Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. I'll just go get 15 sandwiches.
I'm sure they'll let me cut in line." And
yeah,
And they keep like sort of escalating it. They were saying like, oh, the Popeyes, it's on Frederick Douglass Boulevard, right between the liquor store and the Foot Locker.
Dun dun dun. Yeah.
And he says, you know, oh, I can carry a lot of sandwiches. I'll wear my big backpack and long coat.
Yeah. They're like, no, don't do that.
And Chris Redd is just like, okay, you're going to die.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they explain like, oh, you know, black people have dibs on Popeye's chicken sandwiches. We don't come first with many things, but right. This is our thing.
It is our thing.
Yeah.
And so, I think he compared it to like those White Claw drinks that were like all the rage this summer.
Yeah, which that totally went over my head.
Really? But, you don't know about the White Claw craze?
No.
Like, and then Heidi Gardner's in the sketch too, and like when they said White Claw, she was concerned, like dun dun dun.
Yeah, they were like the white people were like, oh yeah, that's we like that.
But yeah, this summer that was a thing. Like there was this like hard seltzer called White Claw. It was like a
sounds vaguely familiar.
It's like an alcoholic seltzer drink with different flavors,
uh-huh.
And it was a pretty big deal this summer. Like a lot of white people loved it.
Okay,
so that was the reference. It was all the rage.
The chicken sandwiches make much more sense to me.
Yeah. I mean, I've had the White Claw. It's fine. It's all right. But, like, uh-huh. I don't know. People were like...
Have you had the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I have, yeah.
Is it good?
It's good.
I have not had that either.
I wouldn't, like, run over somebody with my car for it, but it was good.
Okay.
It's thumbs up.
So not, like, run over somebody with your car good, though.
Yeah. It's not that. I wouldn't, like, slash a man in the throat for it.
I think that's their slogan. It's, like, it's Popeye's chicken sandwich. It's good. It's not vehicular homicide good. But
it is good.
But it is good.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the turn at the end was it was a Jordan Peele presents movie, White Get Out, starring Harry Styles.
Yeah, so, airing on Disney Plus.
Yes. What did you think of this as our show's designated black person?
Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It was an interesting premise.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the execution was quite right. Like, mm-hmm. It was missing something. Like, I don't know. It just didn't. I do like the whole Popeye's chicken thing. I do mm-hmm. like the idea of it, but I don't think they didn't know exactly quite what to do with it. And then he ended it with just it being a White Get Out parody. I was like, what? It just, I don't know. It just kind of fell flat at the end.
Yeah, maybe they should have escalated it a bit more. I don't know. Because it seems like. It's fertile comedic ground, having like an ignorant and oblivious white person, and then the black people being like, "Oh no, you're gonna die."
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like it. I feel like it needed like a rewrite or something. Like it was almost there to being something, but it didn't quite get there.
Yeah, didn't quite go over the top.
Yeah.
All right. So next we had a film segment. This was called Joan's Song on YouTube.
Right.
We had Adi Bryant as Joan doing a musical segment about how her dog is her boyfriend. It's a 12-pound Chihuahua named Doug.
Right. It's the song was kind of done in a very kind of what's it called? Like a Zooey Deschanel type of style, very quirky.
No ukulele, though.
But
you need
like,
the ukulele to get the full Zooey.
The full Deschanel.
Yeah, the full Deschanel.
But yeah, it's very quirky, like Garfunkel and Oates type of song about how mm-hmm. This girl, Joan, lives alone. She had a boyfriend named Steve, but he had to leave after he cheated. So mm-hmm. now her boyfriend is her dog named Doug. But, you know, they don't have sex or anything. They just she just like talks to Doug.
Yeah, no, it's not it's an emotional connection.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
not a it's nothing freaky's going on.
Right. And then at the end, of course, she wishes that the dog could talk to her, and of course then the dog turns to Harry Styles, and then they have this big long beautiful song about, you know, their loving friendship. I mean, for the most part it wasn't that funny. It was more played towards like actually being kind of sweet and earnest. And
yeah.
There weren't too many like big jokes in this thing. There was no turn or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, well, we had I did like how when she's like dancing with the Harry Styles version of the dog, we cut to like the outside perspective of what she looks like from her neighbors, and we see Adi just literally dancing with a little Chihuahua.
Yes.
That was cute.
Yeah.
And I liked at the end he was like, "Hey, I just ate a bunch of handkerchiefs and some of your underwear, and that's all like clogging up my intestines, and that's going to cost you $8,000."
Yeah.
To
it's like you're worth it.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's very like sweet, heartfelt kind of little song. I mean, if you're somebody who loves dogs or lives with a dog or see your dog as your soulmate, I guess.
It was, I thought this was just okay, and it was, and which surprised me, because I think my record bears out. I am a big supporter of the dog sketches on SNL.
Yeah, you're on record.
I am on record.
We are pro dog here.
We are pro dog sketches.
That's right.
But this didn't quite work because they screwed up the women formula. They didn't have. You need a dog and you need Cecily Strong.
It's true. That's the winning formula.
You need Cecily and dogs.
It's peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, and I mean nothing against A.E. Bryan. She did a perfectly fine job, but it wasn't. You need that extra oomph that having dog lover Cecily Strong.
That's very true. Yeah, but I mean, Cecily doesn't do much of the singing, really. I guess 80 is like singing.
She can sing.
She can sing, but like I don't know. Like I've seen like tons and tons of sketches with 80s doing a lot of singing. Like
she's been singing on the show a lot the last year or two. Yeah,
I don't know. I feel like they should let Melissa sing more. She can really sing. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't have her
Melissa
sing
can
more.
Sing. I mean, I think most of the female cast members these days can sing. Yeah, so
they can carry a tune.
Yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, I thought the sketch was.
But
it was
cute. The dogs. That should be Cecily's thing. I'm sorry.
Wow.
That's.
That's the hill you're going to die on?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm gonna be hard line on this.
All right.
So next we had Childbirth Class.
Yeah.
With
they still call it Lamaze, right? Lamaze classes?
I know. Okay. I don't know.
I don't know if it's like, oh, we don't say Lamaze anymore. Like, that's a dirty word. All right. Whatever.
I don't know. Maybe.
The world's changing, man. It's changing at a rapid rate.
I don't have kids. I've never been in a Lamaze or a childbirth class, so. Okay. This is not something I'm aware of.
See what's happening?
No, I don't think they allow that. I don't think...
Pick up girls?
I think they would frown on that.
Okay, all right.
I think they would frown on that. I don't think that would be a good look for me.
Hey, ladies, what's happening?
Hey, no. Hey, no problem. Just here to watch.
Security to the front desk. Can we get security here?
Yeah. Anybody need an extra pillow? Anything like that? No? Okay. Anybody without a partner? Oh, no. Okay. All right. I'll just be here in the corner if you need me.
Sir, can you leave, please? Thank you.
No. Yeah. Okay. That's a good call. All right.
I'm going to go.
So we had the three couples. We had the Melissa and Mikey. We had Ego and Keenan. And then we had Heidi and Harry Styles as Desai and Magnus. They were from Iceland. They are in America on lip syncing visas. And they've learned English from Instagram.
Yeah, and I don't know. Where do we go with this? I mean, they were talking about like, oh yeah, I noticed that the pregnancy make my butt juice.
Yeah,
It was basically like a lot of that, like how, like even though you know Heidi is pregnant, like her, you know, she's still a lot. I guess sexier.
Yeah, the other women, they're talking about how they're having problems with pregnancy, with like the physical difficulties,
right.
And they're not feeling as attractive, and you know, and that happens because you got all those hormones going nuts inside you.
Well, you really haven't been in a
I don't know how pregnancy works.
You know, the hormones go hippity hop and flying all over the place.
Yeah. And but the couple from Iceland, they're like, oh yeah, I'm feeling sexy as hell, and
yeah, it's queen. Nah, da, da. Yeah, it was. I
thought it was good character work from Heidi and Harry. I like the accents they did. I mean, they're basically just like pissing off the other couples in the class.
But again, like I don't feel like this really kind of went anywhere.
No, I mean she has a pregnancy exercise that's basically just twerking. And then they somewhere towards the end, they were demonstrating a sex position.
Oh yeah, with both their legs in the air. It's like, oh yeah, this is how we sex.
I like towards the end of the sketch where Ego had just like had enough of it, and she was like wanting to beat up Heidi. She's just like, I'm just gonna give birth in jail.
And then that was the end of the sketch.
That was it.
Like again, I feel like this needed a rewrite. Like it was.
I thought it was just an kind of sketch.
Like it was. Close to being something, but it just wasn't quite there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's
tough to tell what the missing element is in this stuff sometimes.
It is. So. It is. It's just, I don't know. So it just, I can't put my finger on it. It was just like, wasn't clicking for me, this one.
All right. But next we had airplane pilots.
Yes. JetBlue pilots.
Yes. We had Mikey as the pilot, Harry Styles as his first officer, Newt. And they make their pilot announcement.
Hey, there's a pilot here.
We're going to be arriving in San Francisco just a little after 3 o'clock.
That's good.
And then they believe they've shut off the intercom, and they have a normal conversation. They go into normal voices.
It's like, wow, I got to get late. Like as soon as they said that, oh yeah, man, I can't wait to get late. Like as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh, is the joke is that they think the intercom's off, but it's actually on, and the passengers can hear them. And sure enough,
do not sound happy with the sketch.
I don't know. I really felt like the sketch was. It was kind of meandering for a little bit for a while. It was.
I mean, I enjoyed they were talking about how, like, even Scooby-Doo was getting them hot. And,
like,
Velma had a tight little body under that sweater. Velma and, you know, Velma and Shaggy were doing it with Scooby at the foot of the bed. Someone has put some thought into this.
Yeah, that was like, whoa.
That's very specific.
It's like somebody in the writing staff needs to get laid. God damn.
Who knows? Who knows? And, you know, and I am sure that is out there in some fashion on the internet.
Now, you can find online somewhere.
Have you heard of, like, Rule 37?
I believe it's
Rule 37. It's like, if it exists, there is porn of it.
Why is it called Rule 37?
I don't know if that number has any particular significance,
but
it is known as Rule 37.
I'm sure there's got to be like some Scooby-Doo porno, like either animated or live action, or both.
Probably both.
Yikes.
Probably both.
Oh, zoinks.
We had Bo and Yang as a flight attendant coming in to tell them to quiet down, and he corrects them like, I'm not a flight attendant, I'm a sky liaison.
Classic Bowen.
And then we also had the
passengers?
The passengers responding to it, and they did that weird thing where it's like they try to develop the passengers.
Trying to get them personalities. Like, AD was, like, just getting drunk, and Kate had a dog.
Kate had a dog, again, screwing up the formula.
There's a dog on
the SNL sets. You bring them to Cecily Strong. This is how it works.
That's right. If you're playing a basketball game, you pass the ball to LeBron. If you have a dog in your sketch, you give the dog to Cecily.
Right.
It's just common knowledge.
It's just the way of the world. and then we had Keenan as a guy who'd just taken a Xanax, so he doesn't really care about anything. And it's
right.
I get that you want to give people interesting stuff to do, but it just, a lot of times when they do that, it just really muddles things.
Yeah, it really kind of distracts from, like, this. I mean, I feel like, you have all these type of different things in a sketch, and, like, there's no real focal point. Like, it's just kind of all over the place. And it's like, all right, well, why do we need to focus on this person getting drunk? Why do we need to focus on this person having a Xanax?
It's a sketch about the pilot saying stupid or inappropriate stuff, like,
right,
like towards the end he's trying to say sit back in your seats, and he says sit black in your seats,
right,
and then he just keeps digging himself
digging yourself deeper
and he's saying like, oh well, I didn't mean, like, you know, you're sitting in your seats black and you're rapping in your seats, and then,
right, and it's just them saying more like they said, oh sorry, we didn't mean for you to hear that stuff on the intercom, these things happen on old planes like this, and then the passenger's like, wait, this plane is old, what does that mean, like, again, I don't think it was just the sketch with him, like, really focused.
And there was a thing where he was, like, they referenced several times, like, it's a JetBlue flight. And then they have one of the passengers literally say, why do they keep saying JetBlue? This is not a JetBlue flight. And I feel like certain that that was a line that was just tossed in at the insistence of NBC's lawyers.
Oh,
you should probably say it's not a JetBlue flight so it doesn't feel like we're picking on the brand or.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
That's what I thought. I mean, I could be totally off base on that. But
that makes sense because I feel like if they wrote that line in, she's like, this isn't a JetBlue. This is a Delta, or this is a Spirit Airlines.
Or, you know, this is made up airline. This is Oceanic Airlines. Yeah.
Ooh.
You know.
Wow, that's a throwback. But yeah, but they just said it wasn't JetBlue, so they wouldn't get sued by airlines.
Yeah, I guess so.
Interesting.
That's my theory anyway.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. This was okay. I thought this was like a step up from what we'd seen before, but
yeah, slightly, but I don't know. I just felt like it wasn't focused, but I don't know. It was like, again, I can't put my finger on it, but it felt like it wasn't fully done.
I'm detecting a theme.
There's a theme.
Yeah.
There's a theme.
I like the next one, though. The next thing we had was a film segment called That's the Game.
This, I thought, was the strongest sketch of the night.
Yeah. This was up there. We had Chris Redd and Keenan as drug dealers, Quan and Dante. And Chris Redd is cutting Keenan out.
Right.
And he's like, I'm the new king now. But right.
Mutiny.
As the sketch goes on, we find out that Chris Redd's character doesn't know anything about being a drug dealer.
Right.
And he's asking questions like, who's the guy you sell the drugs to, and what's his number, and how much would you charge him, and where do you get those little bags?
Yeah, exactly. And then I think he had like, it's like, oh, I don't need to know about I know about the drug deal. I got this to sell all this heroin, and he's holding a bag of cocaine. He's like, right. No, that's actually cocaine.
Yeah, he doesn't know the difference between heroin and cocaine.
And then he actually like spills it and drops it. It's like, oh, I dropped $100 worth of cocaine.
That is like $3,000 worth of cocaine.
Oh, got to sweep this up.
And he's brandishing a gun at one point, and the clip falls right out.
Yeah, and the bullets go scattering.
And
all
he
over.
Tries to put the bullet back in the front of the gun.
All I need is one bullet. But he doesn't know how to load the gun. Exactly.
And like finally, Keenan, who is like the previous drug kingpin guy, he's like, well, I'll come back on a part-time basis and help you out.
Yeah.
And he's like, deal.
I'll just take a 80 or all 100%.
Yeah.
Like, I thought this sketch was good because, I mean, Chris Redd does like all the heavy lifting in this. And because
But Keenan was a great straight man in this as well.
And plus, you don't really see Keenan as a straight man that much.
I like seeing him in like more restrained stuff like this. Like,
right.
You know, when he was like a couple weeks ago when he was like, oh, the moon.
Oh, the werewolf.
That's the Keenan I hate. This Keenan I really like.
Interesting.
So.
All right. But yeah, it's nice to see Keenan doing like other different things.
Yeah.
And Chris Redd just kind of just stole this sketch. I
mean, stupidity is like a bottomless well. And I mean, this really worked. It was great. Didn't overstay his welcome. I thought Mikey Day and Harry Styles were both good as like the other incredulous guys. They're like in Chris Redd's corner, but they're like, dude, you don't really know any of this stuff.
Yeah. They slowly start to realize, hey, this guy we're hooking up with. He doesn't seem to know anything about the drug game.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good. I like this one.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, strongest sketch of the night for me.
This, it's probably neck and neck with me with another one, but we'll get to that later on.
All right.
So next we had our musical segments.
Yes.
With Mr. Harry Styles.
Yes.
Doing his musical guesting portion of the evening.
Yes. Yeah. I had first song. I didn't get the
first
name
song was Lights Up.
Ooh, Lights Up.
Yes.
That makes sense because he's wearing like that sparkly top with like no shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the old Vanilla Ice costume. A little bit. It looked a little Vanilla Ice.
I could see that. Little Vanilla Ice action there going.
Yeah, but like, it had like shoulder pads and no shirt. It was like, all right,
that's a look that only like young rock stars can pull off.
I cannot pull that off.
No, I cannot do that.
I need
clothing on me at all times. I'm wearing a parka right now as we are recording this.
Yes.
It is like zipped up so you can only see my eyes.
Yes. Yeah. John Trumbull looks like Kenny from South Park right now.
Yeah.
That's right, John.
Yeah. But the main thing I thought was striking about this song was it was just so damn quick.
Yeah, it was pretty short.
It was like it seemed like it ended before it even began. So
yeah, I mean the song was all right. It was
fine.
It's a nice little quick little pop song.
Yeah,
yeah.
I like seeing Kate, Cecily, and Adie introduce them all together, and they were. They just seemed really enthused, so that was that's fun to see.
It's like all in unison. It's like, oh.
And
like the Mandrell sisters or something.
Yeah.
The Mandrell sisters.
Okay, so we've covered Lou Ferrigno, Vanilla Ice, and the Mandrell sisters.
We're topical. I was trying to think of that other like doo-wop sister group that's in the Bugle Boys of Company B.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because that's more topical.
Look, that's what I was thinking.
The Andrews sisters?
That's
wasn't
it.
Wasn't that?
That's one.
And the really sad thing is, like, you gave me that setup, and I was like, oh, yeah, the Andrews sisters.
Yeah, you knew it. You didn't even look that. Guys, he did not look that up. That was off the rip.
Why do I know this? Why do I know this singing group from literally, like, 70 years ago?
I don't know. You tell me. Oh, good times, guys.
So
good times.
Very old.
So very old. It's so cold in here. Why is it so cold?
Next, we had John Hamm introduce the next musical segment. I want John Hamm to host again. I'm just gonna say it. Like he's there. He's hanging out. He's making cameos. Let's bring John Hamm back to host.
Yeah, I'm surprised we haven't had more Hamm.
I want more Hamm and Bubbly.
Let's go Hamm and Hamm. But yes. Hamm and Bubbly was a fantastic sketch.
Yes, that is classic.
Yeah, get Michael Bublé in there. What's he doing?
Yeah.
Nothing.
Come on. He's got to have something to plug, right?
Exactly. Some Christmas album or whatever. Some holiday hoo-ha.
He can just
plug in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Bublé's holiday hoo-ha.
Michael.
It's the name of his next tour, I think.
I got tickets.
Yep.
That's right.
Then Harry Styles did his next song, which is Watermelon Sugar. I think this is his single. I think this just dropped. I saw some people on Twitter saying like that Watermelon Sugar just dropped.
Watermelon, that's a good Watermelon Sugar.
Right. It was a good pop song. I thought it was a good, solid pop song. I enjoyed this one. Went on for a little longer than the first.
Yeah, it did. So. But that was all right.
He's a talented guy. I see the appeal.
Yeah, he can do stuff.
He's a young, talented. He dances. He sings. He's
dressed
as
colorful.
Cute. He's easy on the eyes.
Yeah. Pouty lips, beautiful brown eyes you can get lost in.
Yeah.
Firm
hair you can just run your fingers through.
Yes, firm chest, taunt buttocks.
I was wondering if you were going to get to the buttocks. I was wondering. I was like, let's let him go.
I couldn't even say. Oh, woo. This episode.
So, Harry Styles is a very attractive young man.
With taunt buttocks. Weekend update.
Weekend update with Colin, Joseph, Michael, Che. So, talking about the news of the day and
did anything happen this week?
Not much. Right. They were talking about the impeachment hearings, and during Devin Nunes, during like his opening statement, he was trying to advance the conspiracy theory that Democrats were trying to get Donald Trump nudes. We are not.
I don't want Donald Trump's clothes.
No.
I don't want.
I want him covered at all times. Yeah. I will donate my parka so that Donald Trump is covered.
Oh,
so I never have to see Donald Trump again.
Yeah, just
and I certainly don't want that parka back after Donald Trump is.
Oh god, no, you got to burn that parka.
No. Yeah.
Set it on fire, toss it into the sea.
Yes.
Give it a Viking funeral.
Colin just had a joke about it. He says I googled Donald Trump nudes and Google said you take your nasty ass to Bing.
Oh, Bing.
And then I thought it was funny that, like, after Joe does his impeachment jokes, which I generally didn't find terribly interesting.
Yeah.
Che says, I don't care if Trump is actually guilty. I just want something to happen to him. And Che was making obvious, like, he did not watch any of the impeachment hearings.
Right.
Even though he was supposed to for work.
Yeah. Can't blame him. I mean,
But he still found a fresher take on it than Colin Jost did.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I found amazing.
I think he has a take that, like, the everyman has. Like, the uninformed person just kind of going off their gut and type of feeling. Like, I just want something to happen.
Yeah. Hypothetically, if you found out Trump was actually innocent, but they were sending Trump to prison anyway, would you mind? And
I was like,
no, I would not mind, Michael Che.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm glad you said it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got to be guilty of something, right?
He has done something that deserves him being thrown away in prison.
Let's lock him up first and figure what we locked him up for later.
Yeah, I mean, normally I'm all about rights and innocent until proven guilty.
Due process.
And all that. That's all great, but except for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Next we had, they were talking about Stephen Miller being accused of promoting white nationalism.
Yes.
And... Again, Che had a cool take. He was like, you know, if you're going to promote white supremacy, you should look like Colin.
Yes.
Basically saying that Stephen Miller is not attractive enough to
he is not
promote white nationalism. And
And then Colin was like, wait, what'd you say?
Yeah, and then he puts up a split screen of Colin and Stephen Miller. He says, by a round of applause, who do you think Hitler would want to be friends with?
Yes, and of course, Jost was like, I mean, I guess he was just was all like, what the fuck? Like, he was like blushing. He was like, oh my God, it's outrageous.
Right, right.
I mean, I guess, is that a compliment? I guess it is. He's saying he's handsome.
He took it at the end. But what I was thinking was just like, if you're trying to make a case of somebody who should be a spokesman for white supremacy, John Hamm is right there in the studio.
You know what? You're right.
And not
handsome man
and Harry Styles. I mean, come on,
yeah.
Those guys are in the studio, and you're going with Colin Jost. I realize he's the guy next to you, but
I know he has all that Izod money. But I mean, come on, John Hamm is right there.
Oh, Colin Jost is so white.
Yeah, he's like a glass of milk.
He's promoting Izod in 2019. I didn't even know Izod was still a thing.
It is. He's the whitest of white.
Yeah.
And
this is me saying this. I
know.
I'm really white, and
I know you're. Like,
and I recognize how horribly white Colin Jost is.
Dude, you're like Don Cornelius next to Colin Jost. You're like a soul brother.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right.
You're like Shaft compared to...
Do-do-do, 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 do.
He's a complicated man. No one understands him but his woman.
John Shaft.
John Trumbull.
And then let's see, we had Kate McKinnon making her return as Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
Who apparently is running for Senate in Alabama.
I did not know that.
Which I didn't know. And he has ads that are really sucking up to Donald Trump.
Right.
The line, I will bend over backwards for Alabama and I will bend over forwards for Donald Trump.
Oh.
And at one point he said, I don't have Stockholm syndrome, I have feline AIDS.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was okay.
Yeah, it was okay. I might have gotten my fill of Kate McKinnon playing Jeff Sessions.
Yeah.
I don't know. She plays so many dudes in the Trump, current and former members of the Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, with Sessions and
Giuliani
and Graham.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
It's a lot.
Right, right. So the other joke they had is that they talked about how Italy is teaching their kids about climate change because the earth is about to become a spicy meatball.
That joke, man.
Yeah.
That was such a hack joke.
Even like Colin like kind of hung his head in shame after
that
joke.
He should have.
I was like...
He should have. I did put that in my notes and I was just like, oh, that's hack.
It's like, I know we got deadlines, man, but come on, let's aim a little higher than that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't begrudge you writing that joke, but you being like, yeah, let's keep this in.
Yeah.
Let's put this on national television. I begrudge that.
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say that. I felt bad saying this joke now.
Yeah.
I'm hanging my head in shame now saying
that. And, you know, and we all have bad jokes that we have to get out of our system.
Yeah.
I mean.
But we ain't got to say them on the air.
No.
Yeah.
No.
So then after that, we had Kyle Mooney come out as a Scooter Reinholdt.
That is not New Zealand.
No, that is not New Zealand.
That is not Muppet fish boomerang throwing New Zealand.
No, people were probably wondering when we're going to bring up the whole New Zealand thing, and that was not him.
That was not him. Kyle made a few appearances.
He did.
Not as Muppet New Zealand, though.
No, he did not.
It's disappointing. If this is new to you, a couple weeks ago, I decided to start a social media campaign to test our power because we've seen so many sketches with Cecily Strong and dogs.
Right.
We thought we were being listened to and seen.
Influencers.
Yes, by the SNL staffers.
Yeah, and we have two dogs in this show today. So
that's
like,
right.
Oh, all
that's right.
Right.
And we decided to test this power and see how much attention they were paying to us. So I decided we needed something more specific.
Right.
So what better way to test this than to suggest have Kyle Mooney play Muppet New Zealand?
Right.
And nothing.
And
I posted about this on social media, tried to get that hashtag trending,
right.
Kyle for New Zealand.
Exactly. Get the movement going.
And a couple people picked it up.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
No. We appreciate that.
Although I will say,
yeah,
at one point in the show, like one of the bumper photos, that they had in between the show, one of those photos was Harry Styles wearing like a tutu.
Yeah.
And a tutu that looked eerily much like the collar of one New Zealand.
You think that was like a veiled shout out?
I'm just asking questions, man.
Okay.
I'm just saying that was their way of telling us that, hey, just wait a minute, we will have Kyle Mooney at New Zealand. So
yeah,
lose hope.
Yeah, yeah. One of our Twitter followers suggested, I don't have the tweet right in front of me right now, but I'll see if I can get it at the end. They were saying like, yeah, maybe they're still doing preparations for this. Maybe they're just going to give it to us by the end of the year. So maybe we should just continue this campaign to keep it going.
Maybe they're saving for the Eddie Murphy episode. So
that's right.
More eyes will be on it.
They were like, Gumby and New Zealand, they probably have some history together.
Hmm.
I would watch that sketch.
That's a story that needs to be told.
That's it. But please keep tweeting using the hashtag Kyle for New Zealand. And New Zealand has a weird spelling. It's Lewzealand.
Yes.
So it's like the country New Zealand, but New Zealand.
Get it?
It's God bless you, Jim Henson.
Yeah.
That's all I gotta say.
God bless Jim Henson. R.I.P.
So anyway, Kyle Mooney did a thing as Dean Foods president of milk distribution, Scooter Reinhold, and he freaked out and spilled milk over himself. So anyway.
Yeah, that was a weird thing.
That was weird. It was Kyle spilling milk over himself.
I wrote down no notes for it.
He was like freaking out because apparently like lots of people are trying non-dairy milks and this Dean Foods place filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah, I guess people say milk is bad for you now, which I have kind of heard people say like you don't need to have milk in your life. You soy milk or almond milk, alternative milks like that are better.
It seems like we go back and forth like this with literally everything, with like eggs and cheese and...
I know, it's like, are fruits and vegetables good for you now or no? Will an apple kill me?
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, so
my basic rule of nutrition is most everything is okay for you to eat unless you get too much or too little of it, in which case it will kill you.
I'm not a nutritionist, but that sounds pretty sound.
Yeah.
Okay, done. So, yeah, so. And then that was a weekend update. And they also gave, at the end of weekend update, a little shout-out to a Rick Ludwin, who is the NBC late night exec who passed away.
Yeah, I was aware of this because both Conan and Seth Meyers did segments about him on their show. So he was obviously a well loved exec at NBC. Right. And
John Mulaney tweeted about him as well.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Let me see if I can find it.
Okay, well I know that he was like about the only guy at NBC who was really like, hey, we should really give this Seinfeld show a try. And he was like a head of, I think, TV movies or special projects or something like that. And he actually diverted some of his budget to them making more of Seinfeld. So the fact that he was like the guy who had enough vision to be like, oh, yeah, this Seinfeld can work. This will be big. And he was a big supporter of Conan O'Brien's in his early days at NBC when he was getting like renewed like 13 weeks at a time. I mean, the fact that all these people love him so much, I think that speaks volumes.
Right. Yeah. So you can see it online, like Jimmy Fallon sent some words. I believe Conan might have said it.
Conan did. The first thing I saw.
Yeah. Seth Meyers said some had a segment on it. And John Mulaney did tweet about him saying Rick Ludwin died. He was the head of NBC's late night division for many years. He was kind and thoughtful in an arena where that can be rare. From the day I began at SNL, he would email me anytime he liked a sketch I had worked on. He loved television, loved it. And this is pretty long.
Yeah,
but if you can see it, but Mulaney kind of did three or four tweets on it.
But I mean, that sounds like really exceptional to me that this guy was just so supportive, and then he was willing to like literally put his money where his mouth was.
Yeah, I mean that's something that's pretty rare. In the television these days,
and particularly just in business where most people are trying to like cover their asses and all that, and so. Rest in peace, Rick Ludwin.
R.I.P. Rick.
I'm glad I found out about him. I'm sorry I found out about him under these circumstances.
Yeah, truth be told, I didn't know about him until he passed away. But I'm glad I got to know about him and
learn a little about him.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, and look up what Conan and Seth and Jimmy Fallon had to say about him because they all had really nice things to say about him.
Absolutely.
So next we had back to the sketches. We had Sara Lee. With Harry Styles managing Sara Lee's company Instagram account.
Right.
And Cecily and Bowen are getting on him about getting off message.
Yeah, because he seems to be confusing his own Instagram account with the Sara Lee account.
Right.
And he's tweeting out some would say inappropriate things underneath the Sara Lee banner.
He comments on a pic of Nick Jonas with Wreck Me Daddy and Destroy Me King.
Yeah.
And then he's like following a guy with like 200 followers and sending him like eggplant emojis and then a train and then like a ghost emoji. And he's like, what does that mean? That's talking about me getting railed to death.
Yikes. special note, the picture of the guy.
Yeah.
Julio Torres.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Writer, SNL writer Julio Torres. That was him up there.
Well, that's awesome. I didn't know that. That makes the sketch all the funnier to me.
Yeah.
And then he also tweets from the Sara Lee account, feeling really depressed after threesome. What was supposed to be a fantasy ended up more rejection. Must get rid of toxic in community.
This was
I really like this. This was like really out of left field. I thought it was funny. I thought it was like edgy with just
It's like very constant,
the constant references to gay sex and the, and I love that they did it, they used a real brand name.
Yeah. This was like under one of the pictures he tweets out, why do guys freak out when I ask them to spit in my mouth? Need a real king that can handle? I was like, yikes.
Yeah. And then at the end, it's like, well, you DM'd Shawn Mendes with a special promotion from Sara Lee. What was the promotion? It was a picture of my open mouth. And they're like, okay, that's your second warning.
Yeah. And then they had it showed like also Bowen Yang, who used to run the Twitter account or the Instagram account. He did the same thing.
Right. And you see a picture of him. He looks like he's at a rave with some dude.
This was interesting. This one, it took me aback.
I enjoyed it just because, you know, this was one of those sketches you didn't see coming. You didn't know where it was going, and I love that they used a real brand name. And Bowen Yang actually tweeted about that.
Yes.
He said Sara Lee disabling and deleting Instagram comics. Wow, they really could have been the bread for. And it's a word I can't say. It starts with an F, a word for members of the homosexual community.
Yeah. And we will end it right there.
So I have a feeling that Bowen probably had a hand in writing this sketch.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, a tweet before that, he said, like, me and prodigal son Julio the Square, Julio Torres, okay, made Emma's Harry Styles say queer nonsense.
Yeah.
Very, very, very sorry to everyone at Sara Lee Desserts.
And I'm amazed that they did this again, because do you remember a few years ago they had that Safe Light auto repair sketch? And then the Safe Light really, like, they did a thing where they implied that the Safe Light auto repair dude was, like, stalking somebody.
Yeah, like a creepy pedo.
Yeah. And they got into some hot water over that.
Yeah, so much so that you cannot find that sketch anywhere online.
Well, not officially. I did some searching before, and it's still out there if you know where to look.
Dark web?
Dark web. Ooh. Dark web. You know, you hire Hitman, you find that Safe Light auto repair sketch.
The dark web for all your dark needs.
That's right. I like this. This I think was neck and neck with the drug dealer sketch for me.
All right.
So I'm not quite sure which I like better. Maybe the drug dealer one's a little better constructed. But
yeah, like this one I thought was, I mean, yeah, out of all the sketches, I thought this was closer to, like, you know, being like a realized sketch.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still like the, you know, that's the game sketch, the drug dealer sketch, a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that was probably a little more solid, a little tighter. But right. I like this one because it's the sort of weird stuff you want to see as you get closer to 1 a.m.
Yeah, all right. So I'll give you that.
And then next we had
Baby Faye.
Baby Faye and her newsboys.
Baby Faye and her newsboys.
Which I think this is just solely for the theater geeks.
Yeah.
Because this was basically doing, have you ever seen the musical Gypsy?
No.
Okay. I've seen the musical Gypsy a few times. I was actually in a production of Gypsy.
What?
Very briefly. Yeah.
I did not know this.
This is the one musical I ever did in my community theater career, quote unquote career. Where I was just called in literally a week before the show went up.
Oh.
And they were like, somebody's dropped out of the show. Can you come in and do these two bit parts? And it was literally like a total of 12 lines.
Oh, okay.
And I played like two. I played like one guy in the first act and one guy in the second act.
The show must go on. Oh, wow. You saved the show.
I really did. It was all on me.
I carried it on my own shoulders.
And because like both of my characters had clipboards, because I was basically a pissy guy with a clipboard in each act.
I could see that.
Yeah. I just put the lines on my clipboard because I'm a slow study with dialogue and stuff.
Oh, smart.
So, you know, I just needed that little crutch.
Okay.
You know, Dumbo needed his feather to fly.
No, yeah. No shame in that.
And you know, I got to spend like a couple weekends hanging around attractive women playing strippers.
Mm-hmm.
Because Gypsy, it's like the story of Gypsy Rose Lee, the famous stripper. Have you heard of her?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm from the streets.
All right.
I don't know anything about
it. It was an outdated reference, so I was assuming that you would know it.
No, I don't know anything about Gypsy.
Oh, okay. Well, like, Gypsy Rose Lee was like this big stripper who is somewhere around, I'm not sure what decade she was. I guess she first came into prominence in like the 20s or something like that.
Okay.
Or somewhere further along.
All right.
Somewhere in the 20s to the 40s, somewhere in there.
The roaring 20s.
And they made a movie version with Natalie Wood, okay. The musical. All
right.
And this is basically like parodying, like almost note for note, Gypsy with like new lyrics, like the song "Let Me Entertain You."
Gotcha. Let me entertain you.
That song I've heard.
That's from Gypsy.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And so in this sketch we had Baby Faye and her newsboys in 1921, and then 10 years later in 1931, Baby Faye and the news guys, and then 1956, Baby Faye and the grown up male news guys, where Baby Faye is 45, but she's still playing six, and she's an overweight, childless woman who's still wearing toddler clothes.
Wow.
I mean, this is just, I'm sure this is something that Cecily threw together with like some of the other theater geeks.
I can totally
from
see
SNL.
That. I can totally see
that. And she's trying to do a split. She can't quite get a split, and she gets stuck in a split, and the newsboys are giving her introductions. She binds her chest, thinking that that's the issue here.
Yeah, and actually, Cecily, when she came out doing a cartwheel.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, some old Belushi moves right yeah. there. I hadn't seen that in forever.
And then we had A.D. Bryant come in as basically Mama Rose, the Ethel right. Merman part.
Oh, okay.
Who sang, like, Everything's
You'll
Coming Up Roses.
Yeah. You'll be swell.
Exactly.
Okay, that I know. Oh, this is all from Gypsy?
Yeah.
Hey, maybe I do know Gypsy.
It's it's permeated the culture enough that you probably know more than you think.
Okay.
But I didn't finish telling my story about
oh, yeah,
my community theater.
Yeah, yeah, you were hooking up with strippers.
I was not.
What?
I was not.
Oh, I thought that's where you were going with
no,
that.
No,
oh,
no, no.
I see.
No, I bombed horribly, as I do.
Okay.
That is, you know, yeah. that is my brand. But I had a beard at the time, and they called in, and I asked the director, I was like, oh, do you want me to keep the beard? Do you want me to...
Shave it
do without it, and the director was like, oh, you got the beard going, why don't you keep it? And I was thinking about losing it at the show anyway, and I was playing a different character in the second act, so I just decided to shave during intermission of the final performance.
Wow.
And it really freaked out, like, one of the strippers. It was like, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you. And I was like, why wouldn't I? I mean, that's, like, about the only thing differentiating between my two characters.
Yeah, but you should be like, because my commitment to this show is that deep.
That's right.
Shave my beard. She would have been, like, super impressed, and then you hook up.
No, she was like dating a fireman.
Oh,
so
sorry.
that it was like one of those moments. That was like, oh, this is so obviously not ever, ever, ever going to happen.
I see.
Yeah,
all right, but we don't do it for the women. We do it for the love of the art.
You do it because you have like a shared changing room with some of the female cast members.
There you go. Wow. Hashtag me too. All right. So this sketch.
It's community theater. People are casual about that sort of thing.
Yeah, it is what it is, man.
Nice little fringe benefit.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, as far as this sketch goes, I don't know. What do you think of this one?
Well, it amused me just because I had that background to appreciate it.
Oh.
Like, I've seen enough community theater of Gypsy and stuff like that. So
you think because of that, you like the sketch a lot more?
Yeah, it probably would have weirded me out a little if I didn't have that background to appreciate it. So,
I mean, I did like the line that A.D. Bryant came out saying that there was like only five people in the audience, but then she went out and said, now there's only four people jackabating to girly mags.
Yeah, I guess it's like because it's in public. That hell, they get off on that.
I just never heard jackabating or whatever.
Jackabating I enjoyed. I have a feeling like maybe the standards and practice didn't allow them to say jacking off or masturbating,
but masturbating is like the technical term.
I don't know, but who knows? But jackabating—that's a very creative mashup of those.
The best of both worlds.
That's right. Jackabating. I enjoy that term.
Let's get it out there. Let's spread it.
Let's get it out there. Hashtag jackabating, people.
Let's spread this jackabating.
Yeah, like, don't include that with the same Kyle for New Zealand tweets, because that sends a whole weird message.
Yeah, that's for New Zealand fetishists. We're not trying to...
No, no.
Yeah.
And if New Zealand is your fetish, that's fine. We're not judging. You do you.
That's right. Rule 37, or whatever you
right.
call it.
Right, Rule 37.
That was it?
Rule 37.
Yes.
I'm almost positive that's just what it is.
New Zealand porn, it's got to be out there, right?
It's got to be, right?
Oi.
Right?
Women getting slapped with fishes. Yikes.
And now I'm thinking of the Monty Python fish slapping dance.
Oh. Now that's a thing, too.
Yeah, that's...
Fish porn. Wow.
That's got to be a fetish for somebody.
All right, we're going down a dark road. Let's go.
We really are. Okay, that's for our dark web searches later on.
That's right.
All right, we're barreling towards the end. We have the funeral DJs with Grandma Betty. She's being laid to rest.
Right.
And they have a musical tribute from Betty's close personal friends, Marcus and Luke, who are played by Harry Styles and Chris Redd.
Right, so they come out dressed as like a LMFAO character.
Yeah, they're getting turnt.
Yeah, it's like who's here for a funeral?
And then they end one of their songs with, rest in peace, bitch!
Yeah, exactly. Grandma's smoking blunt in heaven now.
Get your sad ass up here right now.
Yeah.
And they introduce themselves as DJ Casket. Twins!
Yeah.
And then everyone's confused if their name is DJ Casket or DJ Casket Twins.
It was a weird one.
It was a weird one. But again, that's what you want as you get close to 1 a.m.
Yeah, you
want
to get weird. But
we had Melissa as the family member who's strangely into it.
She always plays the person that's into the weirdness that's happening.
Yeah, yeah, that's become kind of a recurring bit for her.
She's like, oh, I like this.
Yeah.
She said that in numerous sketches before.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
That's her contribution. And we had like our second appearance from Pete Davidson in this episode.
Yeah, yeah, he was passing around the collection plate.
Yeah.
Saying, oh, we like the money that jingles, but we appreciate the money that folds.
Yeah, yeah. And I did like towards the end, we had the mix. We had Everybody Hurts segueing into Everybody Dance Now by CNC Music Factory.
Yeah, that's actually pretty clever.
I was like, oh, that works. And then at the end of their big finish, they got the breakaway pants and they've got underwear that reads R.I.P. Betty the back.
Yeah, they went all out for this one.
That was, this was fine.
It was fine.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
It gave me a chuckle.
Yeah, I was like, all right, it's nice and loud.
Yeah. High energy.
High energy at the end of the show. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. This whole show,
it was kind of an off show overall.
Yeah.
But I mean, I enjoyed the drug dealing sketch that I keep blanking on the name of.
That's the game.
That's the game. I don't remember the title, but that's the only thing I don't like about that sketch. That was a great sketch. And the Sarah Lee sketch, Sarah Lee Instagram.
I'll give you Sarah Lee, and you know that's just a game, baby. Those are the two best sketches. Everything else was like
those were the highlights.
Everything else was like, I don't know about this.
And at the Good Nights, I realized, well, I see Chloe Fineman out there. She's saying goodnight. She's waving to the audience. We did not see her at all.
Yeah, it didn't.
I don't
hit
think even in the background.
It didn't even hit me. It's like, yeah, Chloe wasn't in anything. Like,
yeah.
She could have been one of the passengers on the airplane sketch.
I wish they could have tossed her in there somewhere. I mean, I know SNL, by its nature, it's a crapshoot. Sketches get axed. And she I'm sure she had some stuff in the works that didn't get on the show for whatever reason, cut for time, didn't get the laughs or whatever. But yeah, I wish they would have thrown her in elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I mean, like, for the first few years, Melissa didn't get on all the time. So,
yeah.
Like, I guess it was just nature of the beast.
I know. It's just sad to see when someone has an off week or gets overlooked like that.
Unless it's
somebody we don't like, and then, in which case, we don't mind.
Yeah. someone we don't like, screw them.
Yeah, but we like the Chloe Fineman. So
yes,
she's good.
Yeah, yeah.
She's good, and I think she's going to have a bright future at the show.
I do, too.
And I also thought it was funny at Good Nights. John Hamm, he's like already got his trench coat on. He's either like getting ready to go home or he's ready to go to the after party.
One foot out the door. It's like, hey, everybody, good night. All right, let's go.
John Hamm, do you want to stand on stage? All right, whatever. Yeah, sure.
Like, hey, all right. Taxi! just ready to hop right in that.
Yeah,
right in that
just
Uber.
Just a black trench coat and sneakers and just casual John Hamm.
Right, you know, as you do.
Ready to go out on the streets of New York.
Right.
But that was this week's show. Kind of an off show.
Yeah, definitely off.
Would you like to see Harry Styles host again?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if he did enough to really impress me. Like, I thought he was okay in some sketches. I thought it was weird. Like, he was, you know, he brought some energy into some of the sketches, like the Lamaze class, the birthing class, and maybe like the pilot, you know, JetBlue sketch a little bit. But then in his other sketches, he seemed kind of stiff and little like awkward. Like maybe the first sketch with the Popeye's chicken, he seemed kind of didn't quite know what to do. And I don't know.
He was supposed to be an awkward white person in that.
Yeah, but I don't know. He still played it kind of like, and there was something like stiff and awkward. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to see him come back.
Yeah,
honestly, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I thought he was fine. I just, if he doesn't come back, I think I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's where we stand.
All right.
Deal with it.
That's right.
We're not here to make friends, America. Here to give you the truth.
Well, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Okay.
I hope to make friends.
Okay. Well, I'm your friend.
But there you go. But next week on the show, we got Will Ferrell and King Princess.
Yes, an artist I've never heard of until just now.
Same. You know, right now I'll be like, well, maybe I should go check out some of their music online. Yeah, that's probably not going to happen. I didn't even look at Harry Styles' Wikipedia entry.
Yeah,
so
I mean, I tried to listen to some of King Princess's her music, and I listened to it. I was like, oh, this is...
Oh, so it's one person?
It's one person.
Okay,
it's
not a group.
It's not a group. It's not,
okay.
Yes, it's not like a Kings of Leon offshoot
okay,
or anything
okay.
like that.
All right.
So, and we put out on Twitter if anybody has any questions about for today's show, and we did get some tweets.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did.
At Nick Store said, only seen up until update, like Kyle drinking milk. The first half was fine, not great, not terrible. Harry's first song was odd. And yeah, I think we touched on that because it was super short.
Yeah, I just thought it was odd because it was very short.
Bill Brasky at Bill Brasky.
Bill Brasky!
Bill Brasky. At Bill Brasky 2620 said, this question is from Palm A. Ranian.
And it's a picture of a cute doggy.
Yay. Do you think we can keep this streak going of having a dog in every episode this season? Hashtag longtime listener, first time Parker.
Oh, that's cute. I am fine with keeping the streak going as long as we return to the formula of Cecily Strong with dogs.
That's your deal breaker, right?
That's my deal breaker. Wow. I mean, because it doesn't work as well. With other people with dogs. They don't have the natural chemistry that Cecily Strong has with the puppy dogs.
So you're not there just for the dogs. You're here for the dogs and Cecily.
I think my record bears this out.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
That is my stand. That is my line in the sand.
Bold stance.
Yeah.
Bold stance.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not happy to have dogs on the show, and I'm not saying I'm not happy to have Cecily Strong on the show by herself. But you put the Cecily Strong and the dogs together,
you got gold, baby.
That's where the gold is.
Gold, Jerry. Gold.
Yes. So next we had Manette Marotti. Loaded question: should the head writers for SNL change? There's a lot to be said about the writing this season, and it feels like a change with the head writers is one thing that isn't really brought up. I don't know who on the current writers cast could take over, though. That's a big question.
That's a big question.
I know. Let's see.
How long have? Well, I mean, it's still Che and Jost at this.
Yeah.
How long have they been doing it?
They've been doing Weekend Update for about 5 years, I believe.
As head writer.
I think. It's now become part of the show where it's like if you're doing Weekend Update, you kind of become a head writer.
Okay.
I think that's kind of part of how the show is just put together now.
Right.
And they also have another couple of head writers, and I don't recall their names offhand.
I mean, we just got some new head writers too, right?
I think, yeah, just a few seasons ago.
Yeah, yeah. So. Like, I mean, as we talked about this episode, like the writing for a lot of these episodes, a lot of the sketches have been... not great, very hit and miss. We've had good sketches, like, you know, of course, the Grouch sketch and whatnot. But, like, I mean, especially this episode, though, like, there were a lot of sketches that have just been kind of pretty weak. Would I change
the writers? I mean, there are some writers that I really like. I like what Mikey Day does with, what's his name, Streeter.
Oh, yeah, Streeter Seidel.
Yeah, Streeter Seidel. I think they've done some really strong stuff. And I should... correct myself from a couple weeks ago. Our friend John Murray from the SNL After Party podcast, he corrected me on something.
Ooh.
When I was talking about that that corporate rap sketch from the Kristen Stewart show. I was assuming it was a Good Neighbor sketch because it had Beck and Kyle in there and there was singing and stuff. But that was actually Mikey and Streeter.
Oh, wow.
So I just wanted to set the record straight on there.
But yeah, we did get new writers like this September. Dan Bulla, Dan Licata, and Jasmine Pierce, who is a comic.
Now, are those new head writers or new staff writers?
New writers.
Okay.
So, gone from last season are Michael Komen, Alan Linnick, Eli Coyote Mandel, Katie Rich, and Julio Torres. Oh, he's not. Oh, I guess Julio Torres is it on there?
Maybe he just guested or
I guess
just freelanced. I mean, because, you know, the people come in and out.
Yeah. There is no change at the helm with Michael Che, Colin Jost, and Kent Sublett.
Yeah.
Returning as head writers.
It's tough for me to say because I only pay semi-attention to like who wrote what sketch and all that. So it's tough for me to, like, I mean, whoever wrote What is the name of the drug dealing sketch again? I keep blanking on it.
That's the game.
That's the game.
That's the game, baby.
I like that sketch a lot. Keep whoever wrote that around.
Right.
Get rid of whoever wrote those hacky Colin Jost jokes this week.
Yeah, that spicy meat. I was like, God, I wouldn't say that, but like in private by myself. I wouldn't say that to myself.
Yeah, I would like write that, and then I would like look at that in my comedy notebook or my notes on my phone and then a few weeks later and just be like, oh, why did I ever think that was funny? Yeah. Holy shit.
I would be like, I should probably quit comedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't believe I wrote that.
Yeah.
Right now the head writers are Michael Che, Colin Jost, Kent Sublett. Supervising writers are Frank Gillespie, Sweetie Green, Streeter Seidel, and Anna Dresden. Senior writer, Brian Tucker. And the regular writers are James Anderson, Dan Bala, Stephen Castillo, Andrew Dismukes, Anna Dresden, Allison Gates, Steve Higgins, Sam Jay, Eric Kenward, Dan Licata, Lauren Michael, Jasmine Pierce, Gary Richardson, and Will Steven.
The main name that jumps out to me is Streeter Seidel, because I know he's co-written those Letter Home sketches with Mikey Day.
Right.
Where, you know, like bizarre stuff's happening when Mikey Day's the soldier off at war and weird stuff's happening at home. I like those sketches a lot, and I think anybody who writes those should stick around and have a job.
Yeah. As far as the head writers,
it's tough for me to say. I think it's good to shake things up with SNL.
Yeah, I feel like
every once in a while.
Yeah, so. I mean, I don't know. We'll have to see where the episodes go from here. Maybe this was just one really off night.
This is the sixth episode of the season. It's still relatively early in the year. So. Yeah.
But like, let's see where it goes. I think if it kind of keeps this pace towards the end of the season, I would say, yeah, maybe it's time to. I mean, something needs to change. I would say maybe it would be time for the like new head writers or just some type of shakeup.
But thank you for that question, Manette. Let's see. We also got something from Turkey Call of Cthulhu. I thought Styles was strong in the first half and then got sleepy post update, but there was a second win to bring it on home. Yes, no, Chloe, and two Bowen appearances were agitating. So I can't tell if they're happy that Chloe and Bowen weren't on the show too much, or if they're upset that they weren't on the show too much. I think they were upset that they weren't on the show too much.
It's open to interpretation. I say,
nice to see John Hamm, though.
Yeah, it's always nice to see John Hamm.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean,
handsome man.
And let's see, I know I responded to a tweet from your sister earlier. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My sister.
She responded something about it was your sister who was talking about. Yeah, she said, you got to give them time to produce the fine ideas. You're talking about the Kyle for New Zealand.
Lack of loot.
Yeah. Give them until the end of the year. Maybe they'll feature it on the Eddie Murphy episode. I'm sure he and Gumby have some sordid history.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's agreed.
Agreed.
I would freak out if that happens.
If that happened, I mean, my God. I'm going to clutch my heart like Fred Sanford.
I mean, just to clarify, I don't sincerely think this will happen. I think the chances of it are very, very slim.
You gotta believe, man.
But if it happens, I will freak out.
It will be a beautiful thing.
That will freak out. I mean,
we'll be drunk with power.
We will be. We will be.
Oh my God, we'll demand tickets to every show. We'll demand like our own seats to see him in.
Right, with our names.
Yes, our names emblazoned on them.
Right.
Yes. Oh my God. Wow, man. Jesus Louise. We might turn to villains with this power, actually.
Yeah, we might.
We might turn to the dark side.
I mean, that's a chance you take.
Yeah,
but
that's true.
I think it's worth it. So.
Yeah, that's great. I'll be a super villain.
I checked on the iTunes. I didn't see any new reviews. We could use some new reviews.
People, get on it.
On the iTunes or the Apple Podcast, I think it's called now.
I call it iTunes.
I still call it iTunes. Yeah.
It's not the Ed Koch bridge. It's the Queensborough bridge.
So if you want to go over, give us a 5-star rating and leave a few words, even just something like, love this podcast. Great stuff. Keep it up.
Bulbous heads.
Don't keep up with that. Yeah. Don't keep up. I want to bury the bulbous heads one a little in the feed and get more positive and more ego-boosting reviews.
Let's bury the bulbous.
I mean, we got 5 stars from the bulbous heads person, but, yeah. You know, I don't like seeing the bulbous heads thing every week.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So, like, yeah. Give us a good old review. Give us 5 stars.
Yeah, so just find us on SNL Nerds, wherever you listen to the podcast, and give us a review and a rating. It really does help.
Darn tootin'.
And you can follow the show Twitter at SNL Nerd Show on Twitter. And we're also on Facebook under SNL Nerd Show.
Yeah.
And you can follow
me on Twitter and Instagram at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. If you're in Bloomfield, New Jersey, you can check out my show this Wednesday, the 20th, at the Brookdale Tavern.
Mm, that'll be just a couple days away from when this podcast drops. Oh, yes. We had a lot of friends on that show.
Yes, yes. Oh,
K.P. Burke was on that show.
K.P. Burke. Check out his podcast, American Loser, which I believe you can find it on the Non-Productive Network.
That is true. It's a very funny historical podcast. I've described it as NPR with F-bombs.
Ooh.
So
if that don't get you to listen, nothing will be.
Yeah.
And, of course, friend of the show, Natty Bumpercar, will be on that show as well.
Natty Bumpercar watched one of his Facebook Live videos just before I came over here. He was showing footage of a burning car.
The fuck? What?
I don't think he set the car on fire. I think he just came across this in his travels throughout the day. But,
Is he
he was in Cedar
Tenement
Grove.
Square? Oh, okay.
He was in Cedar Grove. He saw a burning car, and he was taking footage of the fire department putting out the flames. And
I thought that's like some riot or something in China.
No, I think it's just a car that overheated or something. I didn't get the whole backstory, but...
He didn't start the fire.
No. Okay. I mean, he tried to fight it, but...
Yeah.
He didn't light it, but he tried to fight it.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I can't take it anymore!
Anyway, you can also follow me on Twitter at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L and the word comic.
Nice.
And
And listen to podcasts on Non-Productive. Listen to the other shows on the Non-Productive Network. We got the Honeymooners podcast, Near Mint.
Which I'm guest starring on this month, talking about Crisis on Infinite Earths.
And one of the newest podcasts, we have Adventures in Collecting. So if you're somebody who loves collecting action figures, comic books, those little Funko things, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, that sounds cool. And we also have a Patreon. Please contribute to that. You can just go to non-productive.com, contribute to the Patreon, and you can indicate, I'm giving this to the SNL nerds.
Look at you making noises like Michael Winslow.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I'm doing. That's another 30-year-old cultural reference that we're closing out the show with.
We'll never be modern.
We'll never be modern. But we will be back next week with Will Ferrell and King Princess.
Mm-hmm.
They won't be here in the studio, but we'll be here in the studio talking about what they did on the show.
Right.
So come back and listen to that.
Please do.
And until then, nerds out!
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.